I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the podcast this week, brought to you by the Partly Political Broadcast, which is a podcast, an excellent podcast, hosted by Tiernan Duieb. Now, there's no chance of you spelling or remembering that name, so just search for Partly Political Broadcast and that'll find it for you. Tiernan joins us tonight, along with lots of other people, including, obviously, Jamie, who is supposedly a host of this podcast. But let's start. So tonight we're going to deal with Kimmy Schmidt, which is awesome. But let's say hello to everyone first and explain who everyone is. Jamie, who is co-host of this presenting team.
I'm a Scorpio.
We've got Christian Talbot. He is an Irishman from Ireland, and he is a stand-up comic. Good day, Christian.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Christian, good. What's the weather like in Ireland?
It's raining. As usual.
Yeah, same in Manchester. Jamie and I are in Manchester. Christian's in Ireland. We've got Jack, who is normally further north than us, in the on the border of the Lake District, where there were floods a while ago, and he watched human waste go past him in the street.
Yep, how do you do?
Is that where you are, Jack? Are you in Lancaster or are you at university?
I'm in Leeds, where it's raining as well. So
Leeds University. There we go. Yeah. Beautiful. And Tiernan, of course, just mentioned, joins us from London. Good day, Tiernan.
Good day to you. Thanks for the podcast plug.
That's all right. It's a good podcast. And Mel joins us once again from our favourite state, Kansas.
Hi, good to be back with you guys.
Hey.
from sunny Kansas. I just want to...
Yeah. Oh, that's unnecessary.
Come on.
This is why I didn't ask you what the weather was like in Kansas. So, is it really? Is it sunny?
It is. It's sunny and breezy.
What temperature is it in Celsius?
We're not heathens. We go with Fahrenheit.
Who goes with Fahrenheit? Who goes? Only America go with Fahrenheit.
And Fahrenheit also always makes it look warmer than it is because there's loads of numbers.
Yeah.
Plus, Mel, freezing is the point at which things really change. It's like there's warm weather and there's cold weather, and the wall between is where ice turns to water. That is 0 degrees, and that makes sense. What is freezing point in Fahrenheit? I bet you don't even know.
32.
32? What sort of ridiculous, arbitrary figure is that? When will the United States...
Because in America, we go below freezing.
Yeah, well, so do we.
We don't just stop at zero. We go... Freezing is 32, and it goes way past that. I mean,
yeah, but we go lower than freezing as well, and then we go into minus numbers because there is an absence of heat.
Yes.
That's what we have as well. We have negative 30.
Oh, it makes total sense. And hopefully America will elect Donald Trump, and he will make it metric once and for all. I hope everybody saw this week. Mel sent it to all of us, the John Oliver speech about Donald Trump. Click the link if you listen to this on Acast. I'm sure Jamie will put it up there as a little link.
Yep.
But Mel, why don't you tell us what it was like to hear that from John Oliver, and perhaps how few people are actually doing that.
It was masterful. I was cheering. I actually watched it yesterday morning after the Oscar telecast the previous night, which was also phenomenal with the continued pressure that Chris Rock put on not just the Academy, but the audience, everybody watching, about diversity and inclusion. I mean, it wasn't just restricted to the monologue like many hosts have done. It was 3.5 hours of pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, which I loved. I do a lot of work in the diversity and inclusion area, with businesses in particular. So that was, you know, that was something that I was cheering for. And then the next morning I watched John Oliver take down Donald Trump to such a degree that, as far as I know, he has yet to respond.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Because he can't. There's nothing he can do.
Wow.
What exactly did the what was the main slapdown he laid on Trump's face?
Have you not watched it?
No.
Oh, you slacker.
He just kind of did.
It's 20 minutes of brilliance. Just watch it.
Yeah, he did what John Oliver
does.
Yeah, he
just goes through every single point that Trump thinks is a winning stance and takes it apart. Basically proves that he's got nothing true about his campaign, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does this fantastic name thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know if I want to spoil it for you because it's so amazing, but he starts out by calling Trump out for ridiculing Jon Stewart for changing his name from something very, very Jewish and not living up to his heritage. And lo and behold, at the end of the piece, we have a new name for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It just, he does what John Oliver does really well. And I think that is that he identifies why Trump is attractive. So he starts from that point. He doesn't just say this man's dangerous. He starts really from that point of going, this guy looks like these things, and that's why it's a good idea. And then takes down each of those points, like factually and methodically. And it's great. I just hope people watch it.
Yeah, but the problem, that's the problem, isn't it? Mm. That the people who vote for Donald Trump probably don't watch John Oliver.
Exactly.
Oh, it's gone viral. It is everywhere.
Yeah, but does that mean people are watching it who are Trump fans, Mel?
I don't know.
Does that matter?
Well, I've based on some comments that I've seen, there are some Trump fans who are watching it and are the comments that they're leaving, they're still supporting their master, but there's a lot less weight behind their arguments, which
well,
is an arbitrary statement because there's never really any weight behind an argument to support Trump. But there's just, you know, it's kind of taken the teeth out of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's good because there will be people in the middle who perhaps wouldn't have gone out to vote. So they may have been, you know, they may have been like, oh, if we get Donald, it won't be so bad. But then today, as we record this, it is Super Tuesday. And if people go out and, you know, a protest vote against Donald Trump would be a good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. I hope. Kansas doesn't caucus until Saturday, so.
That sounds like a great country song, Kansas Doesn't Caucus.
I know, Kansas Doesn't Caucus. And I'm still technically a registered Republican, so I never bothered to change it. So I think I'll be putting in a protest vote.
Wow, wow.
It's just a matter of who do I want to be associated with.
It's
the old, that's
you know,
tough.
Shit or diarrhea question.
Yeah. have we got Adam with us now as well?
Good morning.
Good day, Adam.
Evening. Good evening.
I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, it is a morning. Even for Mel in America, it's not morning. But
it's morning somewhere.
It's always morning somewhere. Adam is the internet department. He's not done much in that department for a while. He's been on sabbatical. But Adam joins us as well. We're full flow now. We haven't got a chart for the next couple of weeks. Ben has decided to take 2 weeks off, so no chart.
Shocking.
I mean, Jesus, what is this coming to?
Joe.
So now here's Adam.
Could we make it up?
Yeah, here's Adam making up the top 10 box sets of this week. Go.
Number 10 is Big Bang Theory. No one's watching that anymore. It's dropping right off.
Yeah.
Number 9 is probably The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, that was right. Excellent. Did everyone watch the new ones in the last couple of weeks?
Not watched them yet. I am going to.
Nobody watched the first of the next part? Has no one watched it?
Still on series 3.
Look at the power of this podcast. I had never watched The Walking Dead, and then I got persuaded to buy this podcast, and now I'm the only one bloody watching it.
Essentially, this podcast is you talking yourself into watching more TV so that you've got something left to talk to Jamie about.
Is that sort of marketing power, that this podcast is gaining each box set one extra viewer? That's what's going to give you sponsorship.
That's true. Okay, and now, Adam, I think we're up to number one. What's at number one this week?
Bloodlines. because I just watched that.
Have you just finished it?
Yeah, actually, a couple of weeks ago, to be honest. Watched that and then found myself binging all the way through both seasons of Orphan Black over the last couple of weekends, and I don't really know why.
Orphan Black, very much in the same ilk for me as Utopia, which we discussed a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to say anything negative, lest it start a war. But Mel, have you watched Orphan Black?
Oh my gosh. Why do I always have to say no when you ask me this question?
Well, the only reason I ask is that it's a British thing, and I think it was kind of done partly in America, and I wondered whether...
It's very popular. Canadian, yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's Canadian. It's very popular here. It's one of those shows that is on my list to watch, but I know that I'm going to binge it, and so I have to be prepared and not have anything else that I need to do, that has yet to happen.
Adam, was it set in Canada?
It's set in New York, I think, but I think it's a BBC Canada production, and the central stars of it are Canadian actors. And you were saying that you got annoyed by British actors, and that's why you hadn't watched it, I think, in a previous episode. They're just Canadian actors doing... It's strange, because without being too much of a spoiler, a central premise is that certainly one actor plays numerous characters.
Yeah.
And you find yourself going... Once you buy into that, you sort of very quickly forget that it's one person. You occasionally have these moments of going, she's brilliant at this, because I don't like the actor who plays one of the characters, but I really like the actor who plays two of these other characters, and I'm not sure about this one. She plays two different British characters, one with a brilliant British accent and one with a terrible one.
Wow. That is the way to bulk up your IMDb profile.
Yeah. It really is.
Very 50 smart.
50 characters, one series. Okay. Well, maybe we'll come back to Orphan Black another time. If you want to get involved with this podcast, and if you've seen Orphan Black, you can tell us about it. studio@theboxsetpod.com. We're going to talk about Kimmy Schmidt in a moment, but first, Jamie's got some news.
I feel like I should have a theme tune for something.
Go on, then.
News. So here's the latest.
Golden era of news. Brilliant. It's the love boat going to come on.
That actually went better than I thought it would as well, which is wonderful.
You've got to do it at the end as well.
Oh, yeah. So if you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, I've put the latest shiz up there. Firstly, Kimmy Schmidt, it's back in April, which is next month, April the 15th. The trailer is online. Have a look at it. It looks really good. It won an Emmy for Best Comedy Series. And we're talking about that today, aren't we?
So let's not discuss that.
Let's not discuss that at the moment. I also want to mention Vinyl started on HBO. It started a few weeks ago in the US, and despite like having a dream combination of Scorsese and Jagger and Terrence Winter, the creator of Boardwalk Empire, ratings were really low. 750,000 people watched live the first episode, but it went head to head with the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead and got a total beatdown because The Walking Dead got about 16 million. So it was a bit of a foolish move anyway. They were never going to take on The Walking Dead and win. But also with a show like that, it's a grower, isn't it? It's hopefully going to grow from that. Lastly about that, critics also have been sort of a little bit mixed on Vinyl. Has anyone watched it yet? It has started on Sky Atlantic over here. Anyone caught the first episode?
No.
Nope. Silence.
Oh, dear me. This isn't good. Well, if anyone does watch it, you know, give us a heads up.
Oh, that was going so well.
Sorry, you didn't make it, did you?
Oh, dear.
I know, I feel bad now.
It's almost like you actually said, has anybody seen my TV series? And everyone just went silent.
Well, there was a lot of shame in your voices as you said no. It was like you just shat on the carpet. No,
we're just waiting for everyone else to say yes. It's all right. Carry on. This has got weird.
Yeah, the last bit of news I want to mention, The Departed is turning it. They're making a TV version of The Departed. It's getting a makeover. If you've seen the film, it's also a remake of another film called Infernal Affairs, I believe. I've not seen the original film, but it's like a massive film in Japan. And the TV show is going to sort of take a different slant on it. It's going to be new characters, new story. We'll stick to the basic premise of a mole trying to out another mole. And they're not sure yet whether they're going to take it to sort of cable TV or a major network where they'll have less creative control. But I'm not sure if Scorsese is going to be involved. So, but that is your news.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for the news, Jamie. More of that at theboxsetpod.com/news. Now, it's time to talk about Kimmy Schmidt. And what is the full title of Kimmy Schmidt?
Unbreakable
Kimmy Schmidt. Now then.
Or were you looking for us to sing that?
No, because I've got the theme tune ready to go here. I just want to work out who our sort of guinea pig is this week. Now, we know that Jack, our work experience
absolutely
boy...
absolutely hate it.
Okay, right, don't shoot your load too soon, Jack. Jack has only definitely seen... Jack, how much have you watched, honestly?
Probably, how long is each episode? About half an hour.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
I'd probably say I've seen about 17 minutes.
Right. So that is a long way off the 4-episode rule. I mean, you've not even finished a bloody episode, Jack. Okay. So Jack's only watched one. Has everybody else here watched the whole thing of Kimmy Schmidt?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jack, this is going to be a group battering.
This isn't going to be nice.
So let's remind ourselves now of the awesome theme tune of Kimmy Schmidt.
It's gonna be, fascinating transition.
Damn it!
Amazing. Now
I was imagining Jamie doing the faces along to that all the way. Jamie, were you pulling faces and sort of miming along while that was being played?
Yes, Adam, I was.
Yeah.
Let's fill people in. Who should we get to do this? Let's ask Christian to fill in. Anybody? In fact, no, Christian's awful at doing this. I remember last time. Let's get him to do it anyway. Christian, I want you to do the blurb. I want you to do the Radio Times version for anyone who hasn't seen Kimmy Schmidt. What is it about?
Oh, it's about one woman in particular who was part of a cult who were locked away underground for a number of years, believing that that there was a nuclear war or something like that outside, the whole of civilization had come to a stop, and then they were rescued, she then goes to live in New York. So a lot of the premise is basically that she doesn't really know what's been happening in the world for the last.
You were doing.
I can't remember, but it's 10 years or so.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry?
You were doing really well, and then your Skype went really.
A bit robot.
But.
Oh, sorry.
I really like the idea that the Radio Times would say a nuclear war or something like that.
I wish, like a Harry Potter book, that my Radio Times would speak in Christian's voice every time I bought it once a year.
Some sort of catastrophe or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's very well explained. So we see these awful stories in the news about people who are kept in basements and things like that. And this is a comedy based on that very taboo subject. And the idea is if you had no idea of what happened over the last 15 years or whatever. The theme tune is as if it's been made on YouTube by those people who like remix things into songs on YouTube. So it's clips from the news, and the guy you can hear saying, women, girls are strong as hell, or whatever he says. He's like in the news clip. And within that theme tune, I laugh every time I watch it. And it's the moment that she just does this look when she first steps out of the bunker. And the very first look on her face is just this sort of immediate, stupid optimism of just grinning. She's so happy to be out. And whereas everyone else is, you know, playing the stress of the situation, she's just immediately almost like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Like, it's this immediate awe at the world. And I just think the performances are amazing, and that is sustained, especially by her. And I don't know her name in real life. I know someone else does here.
Ellie Kemper.
Mm. And she was in something else as well, wasn't she, Mel?
She was in The Office, which I believe Jack also hated, the US version.
Oh, I didn't hate The Office in general. I just didn't like her performance.
Oh, well, that makes it better then.
Quite specific.
Interesting fact about Ellie Kemper. Her drama teacher when she was a teenager was John Hamm from Mad Men.
No way.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's a good fact. I think we've got about, you know, 20 minutes now to try and change a young mind, and that is Jack's mind. So,
well, the question is, Jack, is it that you don't like the premise of the show, or you just don't like her?
I think the premise of the show is all right. I've not got a problem with that. It's just the overly emphasized and telegraphed cheap jokes that I just can't stand, and the character that's a flatmate, you know, the
Titus,
is it Titus? Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jack, can I ask you something? Did you like 30 Rock?
I've never watched it.
Can we do a show of hands for who did watch 30 Rock? Or rather, who didn't? Because I imagine most of us did.
I haven't seen it. Tiernan hasn't seen much of it.
I watched all of it.
I believe everyone else has seen it.
I've seen all of it.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones people keep telling me that I have to see, but then I see how many episodes there are and think, I'll leave it a bit until I have nothing to do.
Well, Adam brings this up every time I discuss Kimmy Schmidt. Adam brings this up almost like he doesn't understand how I got to crack cocaine without first going through cannabis. He's like, you've missed the whole gateway drug. And Adam, are you claiming that if Jack had seen 30 Rock, it would make Kimmy Schmidt easier for him?
Possibly. I mean, I think 30 Rock is a way better show in general, if you were to compare just, you know, first season on first season. Kimmy Schmidt, I was excited to see Kimmy Schmidt because it just being a new Tina Fey show, and 30 Rock is just, I'm actually rewatching it now. I went and actually bought physical media, 120 episodes on 20 discs, seven seasons.
Wow.
And this is like third time around. Although actually, you know, at the time I probably watched the first four seasons a couple of times. I'm back into watching season five just where, you know, for the second time around. And this, I've just watched the live show, and the live show is where programs officially jump the shark. Like, it's beginning to tail off a bit now. I would say season five and six of 30 Rock are as good as Kimmy Schmidt, but the previous four are brilliant. But it's the sort of humour, it's not, you can't tell anyone jokes from 30 Rock. You have to get to know the characters and all the situations there. And then the lines and the scripts are so impossibly sharp. And it's recycling a lot of the characters, or a lot of the character types, I think, you know, from 30 Rock, if you know 30 Rock, in Kimmy Schmidt. And not, it doesn't really introduce them very much in Kimmy.
I love Kimmy Schmidt.
Some of them runs with it. And that's great if you like those
Adam
tropes of
30
things. Brilliant.
Rock is only going to ruin Kimmy Schmidt for me. Clearly. You're saying that suddenly if I watch that, it's going to make it worse. So why the hell would I watch it? This isn't about 30 Rock. This is about Kimmy Schmidt. Jack, do you accept? We can't help you unless, first of all, you accept you've got a problem.
I can understand that it is comedy, but
I recognise this as comedy.
It's just, I don't know if not for me or what. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think as a first episode goes, Kimmy Schmidt is a hard one to initially love.
It's just very odd. Yeah.
I understand.
Not a great first episode compared to, I think I really, I sort of persevered with it, and I really started to like it from about episode three onwards, I think.
Yeah.
Where it really felt comfortable with itself.
Because the character you hate at the moment, her flatmate, you grow to actually love that character, and you have to stick with him, because I know initially in that first episode he's quite a jarring character. He's so almost like overacting, isn't he? And it's very
slap him in the face. Yeah,
that's the point of him. Jack. He's a larger than life, massively selfish, irritating performing artist.
It's a running theme, though, with a lot of, I think, in this and in 30 Rock, in that the sort of the main character, whereas it's like Liz Lemon in 30 Rock as isn't very narcissistic and isn't very self-centered, whereas everybody around her is. And it's the same in Kimmy Schmidt. Like, she's optimistic about everything and happy all the time, whereas around her, like Titus and the landlady and
Christian,
they're all very self-involved and selfish, you know?
You need to wind up your broadband, Christian.
Christian, your Skype seems to give you 25 words, and anything beyond that, it goes rapidly downhill.
I could do with that.
Yeah, you could.
Will I call out and call back in again?
It really is okay for a bit, and then something strange
just
goes.
Just talking sharp bursts.
Sharp, sharp bursts. But that was an excellent point, Christian. Jack, first of all, I mean, you're an absolute idiot for only watching 17 minutes of an episode. I mean, you could just see him watching 17 minutes.
At that point, you've got like 5 minutes left. Come on.
Yeah, you've got 5 minutes left and you reach for Peaky Blinders. What a tosser. you seriously need to get to the four episodes. There's no finer example, but it seems like you're so far off finding this funny. Tiernan, how can we unlock this for Jack?
I don't know, because I mean, like I said, I thought episode one was probably the weakest, and I almost gave up on it after episode one. My girlfriend really enjoyed it, so we carried on watching it, and by episode three I thought it was one of the best new comedy series I've seen in ages, you know.
How about that, Jack? He's gone from not liking it to one of the best he's seen in ages.
I googled it, and there isn't a bad review for it online, which I just find just crazy.
Yeah, this is what like when someone who's been like brought up as a Nazi suddenly steps into the real world and realizes that all of their opinions are completely wrong. You are.
Jack is Kimmy Schmidt.
Jack, you are Kimmy Schmidt, and the world is understanding this comedy.
Yeah, but I understand other things, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
and
but
Kimmy understands weird sex, and that doesn't really help her understand the world in the way that understanding Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not going to help you understand.
No. Jack, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine isn't a... You know, like, on one line in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they might go off into a slightly surreal flight of fancy. Well, this entire comedy is that flight of fancy. It is asking you to go...
It's got an almost... sort of maybe reminded me of, like, Airplane or some of those films. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they're quite willing to just go down a completely surreal path. There's one of the episodes that starts with them going to a posh restaurant and pretending to fit in, and Titus pulls out a laptop that he's made out of cardboard, and Kimmy pretends to use a banana as a mobile phone. And that was me.
Even though she has a mobile phone, she actually owns one, but she uses the banana.
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's such a lovely kind of, it's got a world within its own.
Yes, it does, but it's all possible. Like Airplane, the things that happen are surreal, that and they can't, they wouldn't be possible.
It's nearly all possible. There are, you know, there's a robot character and things like that come into it.
Yeah,
it's bordering on the not possible.
Yeah, you're right. But I think those things that happen are almost, they're comic exaggerations of something.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of sets up like 30 Rock. It's quite a... quite a kind of harsh environment, almost kind of like a world that seems quite real, but it puts in very naive characters into it.
Absolutely. It's clowning. Like when she first comes out of the hole, and like what makes me laugh, that she's totally optimistic immediately. That is clowning. That's classic clowning. And that's what the whole thing is. It's like New York is the most brutal city in terms of people just doing their own thing and telling you to fuck off. And if you put someone who's just totally optimistic in that environment, then you get comedy. And the other person she's flatmate with that really annoys you at the moment, Jack, he is another form of totally optimistic, but he's embittered now because he wanted to be a performing artist. He's like, fame!
Yeah.
And he's failed. And he's further down the line than her in terms of bitter. So she's giving him a bit of hope. And it's about that hope against reality. You'll see them getting taken down by the reality of the world.
And we also get you're talking about how this is a very surreal environment and all, but at the same time, we have these moments of intense reality where she'll drop a line. You know, they drop a line from Kimmy that reminds you exactly where she came from. I mean, obviously we have the flashbacks to the bunkers, but we have the, you know, that moment when Titus says, I've been dying to ask you a question. And she says, yes, there was weird sex stuff in the bunker. And that's not what he was going to ask. And it's played as a joke, but it's jarring because you're like, that's right. I mean, she was abducted when she was in middle school.
Yeah, there's a bit of me as well that really likes the constant 90s references that come out.
Yes,
like there's
too.
Various Yo MTV Raps quotes, which
as a 90s Club.
Kid, I thoroughly appreciate.
Because she's still stuck in the 90s. Christian, how many people have you abducted?
I'd only incriminate myself. Can I mention something about it for one second?
Yes, Christian, go.
And I'll keep it to short.
You've already used up too many words. Go.
The writing, the amount of jokes, just the amount of gags in it that they're able to fit in, and like every second line is a gag of some sort, and it's really high quality, and it's just the quality of the writing. I think is just fantastic. The hit rate, and I've watched each episode probably about three times, and I keep finding lines and references and jokes that I missed because I was too busy laughing at the one before that I missed the next one. You know, it's just that dense. I just think it's that dense. Plus, not only that, but all of them sort of move. They're not afraid to cut away to something like Family Guy does, where they have a little aside and it goes off into something surreal. And then it comes back. But even the bits of the sitcom where they're moving the story along are filled with gags.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, and it's just fantastic to watch. I mean, it's kind of humbling to watch it. You just go, like, the quality of it is just so good.
And I'm sure you'll agree, Christian, if Jack gets as far as the Lion King moment, he's got to love it.
Oh, God, yeah. That's fantastic.
It is amazing.
I also have a bit of info on this, something that people might not know. Jack won't have gotten this far, but does everybody know the plastic surgeon in
This is really tragic what you're about to tell us.
Yeah, I didn't know if anybody else knew this, but the Martin Short plays a plastic surgeon in it, and he plays but it's based on a plastic surgeon in New York called Frederick Brandt, and he looks exactly like he's a caricature of the plastic surgeon. I'm looking at the photo of the two of them here, and they look, it's remarkable.
Wait, but before Christian tells us what happens next, right?
Yeah.
Can I just get the laughter out now?
Yes, go.
Because that character, the way it's played, is fucking amazing.
Yes.
It's so good. And I am in no way laughing at what Christian's about to do to this podcast.
I do apologize, but it is interesting. The guy, Martin Short plays this character. The guy that it was based on killed himself. And that's like a month later, because he was so upset at being.
Was that after 17 minutes of the first episode?
Yes.
Well, hey, at least we can laugh, and I will also.
Sorry.
Look, I'm just laughing because Christian actually laughed while he was saying the fucking thing. It's awful.
It is really tragic. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. It's just. It's fucking horrible.
It's unbelievably sad.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. So go ahead and laugh.
Can we just welcome Matt to the podcast for the last 10 minutes? Hi, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
Where the hell have you been?
I've been trying to put an irate 2-year-old to bed.
Oh, God, it's like talking to Jack. Matt noticed on last week's podcast that you can hear every breath he takes. So just turn yourself down a bit, your input down a bit, Jack, Matt, and that might help.
I'm doing Skype on an iPhone. I don't know if I've got those kind of sophisticated controls.
Yeah. Have you got headphones in?
Yeah.
Hold the phone further away from you. That will do it. There we go. Teaching Matt about distances.
I'm not sure whether we should go back to the controversial and tragic story we were just on before. But yeah, whilst you were talking about it, I Googled it, and the first four results that come up in relation to this person are all stories from the Daily Mail that alternate between he was killed by the show, he wasn't killed by the show, he was killed by the show, he wasn't.
Nothing justifies the death of anybody, but the character is funny, and Christian's telling of this news that has ruined this podcast was also very funny. So,
sounds great. I look forward to hearing it.
In defence of Jack, just a little bit, by the way, I can kind of see if some people don't like it. As I think sort of everyone here has alluded to, there's a definite rhythm to it, and there's a pacing of the gags, and there's a kind of, like I say, it throws you into accepting certain.
Yeah, it's hard to get into, kind of to get into that.
Tropes, if you like, and it's if you don't get into it, if you don't decide that you're going to like this, or you're not already familiar with this kind of pace, I can see that it might be a little bit alienating. And like you say, there's a lot. I think it's a little over reliable on the 90s references at times.
And Jack was only born in just, what year were you born in, Jack?
96.
Jesus Christ.
Good grief, that is hideous.
What a joke.
What a joke. Put him
have
down.
Underwear older than you. And there's a little bit where, like, say, Hal, you love that that naive kind of just face, that excited face.
Yeah.
And I think was it even you, probably quite a few podcasts ago, talking about, I think it was Martin Freeman, and you get annoyed by Martin Freeman doing that Martin Freeman face.
Yeah.
I can see how people might get a little bit annoyed by the Kimmy Schmidt face.
Do you know, I think the whole thing, like, when you first start watching it, it's almost deceivingly bright. I think because the undertones of how kind of fucked up everything is and the reality of life don't really kick in immediately. You know, like you're saying, there's sort of jokes about a time in the bunker rather than it kind of being a serious thing. And everything's shot so bright and she's so smiley that I think if you're the sort of person that's quite cynical, that could put you off quite quickly.
What do you feel
before you realise that it's not like that at all?
Jack, how do you feel about the people who made this? Like, you hated this so much that you, like, you must think that the people who made it are fucking idiots or something. Tell me, at this point, 17 minutes into a series, what is it that you think?
Well, they're trying to be funny, but they're just fucking ludicrous.
Okay, I want to point out, I mean, we touched on this before, but I want to point out that Kimmy Schmidt was abducted when she was in middle school. So she's coming 15 years later. She's had no socialization. She has an eighth grade, not even a finished eighth grade education. All of this brightness and this optimism and these references to the 90s.
Marsha, are you trying to... Martha, are you...
Mel.
Mel, sorry. God. Sorry.
Go in here half an hour late and start calling everyone Martha.
Are you trying to say that it's a realistic portrayal of what someone would be like if they've been in a bunker for 15 years?
No, I'm saying it's a realistic portrait of someone who of a middle school girl.
Yes, it's a no. I would like to say what you're saying, Mel, which is that it is a realistic exaggeration of exactly what that girl would be.
Yes.
Which is
It is, but it is also supposed to be the sort of nerdy side to Tina Fey as well, really.
Where is the split in the room here? What have I missed? Who's
Jack,
for and against?
Everybody loves it. Jack is an idiot.
Okay. I fall somewhere in between. I don't love it.
God, he would, wouldn't he? Mr. Fucking Grumpy Pants.
It started to win me over.
It started to win you over. And how far in are you, Mac?
Well, I, when it first came out, I watched about 6 or 7 episodes, and I watched one on the way home today. And I don't know. I don't have any problem with it, but I don't think the humour particularly appeals to me.
Spoken like a true boring bastard.
Well, I do. I do try.
I'm
also,
sorry,
there's
I'm
not
sorry.
Enough. You know, there's not enough naked women in it for me.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
How does everyone feel about Howell's impartial role as a kind of host and arbiter of this podcast?
Look, there's people.
I feel like it's a possible
world.
Glimpse at the future of America. To be honest.
Exactly. As we have learned about John Oliver this week,
there is a set Trump.
There's a time in history when hosts cannot remain impartial. Hitler, Donald Trump, Matt Wandless, all of those people. You must take a stand against what they believe in. Jack, I mean, this is a huge outvoting. If you ignore Matt's 50-50 fence-sitting bullshit.
I would say it gets better, though.
But you see, it gets better. That's obvious.
Well, I'll give it a go, but it's a bit like what Mel said, that I think it's too in-my-face, singy-dancy, all of that, where I prefer more, is it boxes, but what's it called? Zach Galifianakis, his new
baskets.
Show.
Baskets.
Yeah. It's great, though.
Yeah,
yeah. But, see, that's more slow-burning.
All I'm asking is that you look at the evidence, right? Look at the evidence before you now. How many times on this podcast have we had 7 people, apart from Matthew's stupid comments, almost 100% in favour of something? You know, how many times has that happened, Jack?
Never.
It's never happened.
Mad Men.
I don't know. I don't know if Mad Men did have this wave of support for it. So
The Sopranos definitely did.
Mel wasn't on board with The Sopranos.
But she was the guinea pig.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're right. She was.
Yeah. Right, it was.
But I think there was only 3 of us on talking to Mel. Whereas this is 7 whole people. This is like, if this was the results of a focus group, Jack, it would be like, this is the best result you're going to get.
The real question is, when are we going to do an episode about Peaky Blinders?
Jack, I'm going to do you a deal, right? Okay. If you watch 4 episodes of Kimmy Schmidt without going on your phone or your laptop, by next week, you watch them, by next week, we will do Peaky Blinders the week after.
I'll take that.
Seriously, you're giving away Peaky Blinders for Kimmy
I'm
Schmidt.
I'm giving away Peaky Blinders. And you, Matt, you are going to watch episode 1 of Peaky Blinders.
At least get him to watch something good if we're going to do that.
Wow.
Final words. Tiernan, why should Jack carry on?
Because, you know, try and develop some tastes. That's why he's really good.
Christian, why should Jack carry on?
I don't think he should, because I think I'll like the show less if he does.
Wow, poor Jack.
Mel, why should Jack carry on?
I have a legit answer, you guys.
Okay, go on.
I think Jack should carry on because if he gets to the end, he gets to the court scene. And they're phenomenal.
Yes, and there's a secret star of that will make Jack very happy. And Matt, do your best now. Why should Jack carry on?
Because it portrays a world without cynicism in it.
Oh, listen to that. Aww. Did you hear that? The cold heart reaching out for even just the idea of some hope. Long lost. And let's go now to Jamie for closing arguments.
Well, it's been quite a journey, Matt.
Thanks, Jamie. Jack...
just watch it, Jack. Yeah. Because like, I think Matt said it right. It's a joyful experience to watch. It's happy comedy. Like, there's a lot of cynical comedy. That's great. There's a lot of sort of nasty comedy that's still funny. It's nice to have something that's joyfully funny to watch.
Did I even ask Adam?
You didn't.
Adam, why should Jack carry on?
Jack can do what he likes. He's a young man.
I should have asked you in the first place. Yeah. Jack, I will take your opinion as valid, which is, yes, these people are really annoying. Okay, you're right. That is the point.
Say the truth, Jack. You really should be at your age. You know, you should be clubbing. You should be picking up the ladies. I mean, what are you doing staying in watching Peaky Blinders? I mean, this is an absolute travesty. I was all over the place at your age.
Not only, Jack, should you reassess your opinions of Kimmy Schmidt, but also your entire life.
Just
good
life.
I'll get back to you next week and tell you how I've done.
We're going to test you on it.
And Kimmy.
We're going to test you on it because we ain't watching Peaky fucking Blinders unless you've actually watched 4.
Oh, but Peaky fucking Blinders is so good.
Like, well,
and Series 3 is coming out, so we all need to watch Series 1 and Series 2 so we're ready to hit the ground running with Series 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if it had been called Peaky fucking Blinders, I'd actually have watched it by now.
What does Peaky Blinders mean? Is that a northern expression?
I don't know.
Matt.
A terrible feeling that we'll have to watch it to find out.
I'm sorry.
Idiot.
I won't ask questions anymore.
Is Peaky Blinders a northern expression?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know what happens in the fucking north.
The wine boys just come and they're talking about Peaky Blinders. Is this something you do from the coal pit?
I actually know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you.
Go on, Mel. Tell us what it is.
Okay, it's a reference to the caps that this gang wears, and they have razor blades sewn in the tops.
Ooh.
Aye, right.
It's a gang.
Oh, see. So it turns out not everyone in the room knew what it fucking meant.
Nobody knew. So nobody knew what it meant. It was just the presumption that it was a northern thing that made it so funny.
Well, I don't know. It takes place somewhere up north, doesn't it?
No, it's in the Midlands, isn't it? In Birmingham.
That's Birmingham, yeah.
That's north.
I mean, it's north.
Which
of
direction
London.
Do I head in to get to Birmingham? North.
Jack, good luck for next week. So next week. We won't talk Peaky Blinders next week. Next week, we're going to talk Deadwood.
Oh, yes.
Deadwood next week, for anyone Fantastic. Who can join. Has anybody not watched Deadwood here? Say yes if you've not watched it.
Yes. I've not watched it.
Oh, that's quite a large number. Tiernan and Adam and Matt, is that correct?
Yeah. I'm actually quite interested as well. I'll have a go at that.
Well, see if you can get it. Let me tell you a quick story. I was in HMV on Saturday night, and I was looking at the box sets, and I thought, Jamie keeps telling me to watch Deadwood. If it's here for less than £15, I'll buy the box set. And there it was, three series, and it was $14.99. So, so I instantly text Jamie and said, I really don't want to buy this. Can I come to yours and borrow it? And that's what I did. So, I've
you
got it.
You can buy it for your Apple TV as well.
You can't get it on iTunes, otherwise I would have bought it.
You're in for such a treat. Deadwood, I'll talk about it next week, but it's a journey. It's a wonderful journey
to go.
It's like
an adult Lovejoy, isn't it?
Yes, it seems so.
Sold.
So if anyone can watch the first episode of that, you can join
me. Whoa. Is Ian McShane in Deadwood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sold.
Got a big old tash.
All right, Matt, you've got a week to watch episode one and you can join me in the guinea pig pit.
Okay.
Jack, good luck. Remember, they're supposed to be annoying. Try and get some more intelligence and you'll understand more adult comedy. see you all next week. Thanks very much, Christian Tiernan. Mel, otherwise known as Methuselah, I believe. Adam, Jack, Jamie. Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh. Bye. Woo.
You guys are a hoot.
Mel, I'm so sorry I got your name wrong. That's terrible.
I can't even tell you how many times I get called Martha, so you're fine. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See you,
bro.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. Still there?
Hello?
Yeah, just us.
Hey.
Thank God we got rid of those fuckers. Whew. Which one do you think's the most annoying?
I think they're all right, aren't they?
That's a good job. I've kept it recording. it's Matt, though, isn't it?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.